Welcome to Breakthrough Business Strategies, and happy Monday to each and every one of you. I'm your host for today, Stephanie Callahan, coming to you from the heart of the Midwest, Central Illinois. We'll bring you information on business success mindset, your inner game, and Web 2.0 tools, techniques, and strategies, your outer game, so that you're equipped to create success in your business today. You've tuned in, and you're here for a real treat, as we have a special segment today. Michelle Price, our regular host for BBS Radio, is a guest today as I sit in her seat, along with her regular team of experts who've been delivering you action-oriented tips on sales, success mindset, productivity, blogging, social media tools, and, of course, digital media strategies. Thank you for coming, and if it's your first visit, thank the person who told you about us. Now, here's the scoop. We really listened to our listeners, and they told us that they want one spot that they can go to get all of the information that they need for this show. So you want to listen, and you only need to write down one URL today, and that is whoismichelleprice.com. Remember, her Michelle is spelled with one L. Being hyper-conscious of what the listeners want, need, and ask, we've asked for a framing post for each radio segment and everything we talk about today, and we'll reference it as a resource as it all is linked in your framing post. So make sure you visit and connect with each one of us, and do more than follow, reach out, and truly connect. Ask us questions, engage us in conversation, and even hire us if it makes sense for your business. This New Year's Eve segment is something new that we wanted to give to you as we move into 2013. Many times, learning insights from other professional perspectives open up new windows in our minds. And today, we're going to learn from our host, Michelle Price, the Digital Splash Agent, and her regular guest, Don Cooper, the Sales Heretic, who was the first ongoing guest on BBS Radio, Andrea Waltz, our Go For No Master, Dino Dogan, the co-founder of Triber, our newest regular guest expert, Ian Cleary, on the Social Media Tool Guy, and me, Stephanie Callahan, your Business Freedom Catalyst. Today, we'll share with you our business successes and our biggest failures in 2012 and what we plan on doing differently in the coming year. Now, like last week, we're going to have a round table like the Knights of Camelot, and I'm going to call on each expert to share their thoughts. Since there will be 60 minutes for this conversation, I expect the conversation will be lively and fast-paced. And we ask you to please tweet us any specific questions you might have for today's topic. And, of course, as always, when you hear golden nuggets, tweet them using our hashtag BBS Radio. Let's get started. Michelle, you've tried a lot of new things in your business this year. So what's been your biggest success in 2012? Can you tell us about it?
Oh, I can, and I'm going to end up giving someone real good credit for this. Actually, two people credit for this. My big success this year, which is really kind of funny that my breakthrough would come around clarity, since I helped so many people get clear, what I learned is I have to be willing to go outside myself and use other experts to help me do that, and I finally did. The two people that helped me most with that this year were Sally Hogshead with her Fascinate and her Fascination program. What I discovered by going through that really simple, easy process is it confirmed a few things for me that I already knew about myself, but it elevated a piece of me that, no laughing, guys, I actually held back. I know that comes funny, me holding back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But learning how to stand in that energy of being the rebellion, as she calls it, you know, that rebellious nature, the person who actually helps you to, like, uncover those breakthroughs and be really forward-thinking, as much as I did that, I didn't do it to the level that I needed to do it. I was just shy of really completely jumping in the whole swimming pool. And when I started doing that, then what happened is other things started happening. I started having more people reach out to me and go, you know, I really liked when I heard you talk about this, and here's what I need help with. It gave people those handshake moments or those pick-up-the-phone moments where they could reach out to me and actually ask me to help them do their business. So that was so important. And then the second person that really helped me with a success this year around clarity was Steve Woodard. Now, Steve's been on the show, and one of the services that he is becoming very well known for is, and it's going to sound weird, he does clarity therapy with you. No, he's not a psychologist, but he's brilliant in being able to let you just vomit on him for like an hour, hour and a half, and then he gives it back to you in really powerful, branded ways to communicate who you are and what you bring. And that's how Digital Splash was born. I literally just sat down with, we had a session, and by the time we were done, my rebranding door had just opened, and I was off like a little rabbit. I was so excited. I'm like, oh, my God, it finally feels like that final piece is in place. And I was, it makes such a huge difference. Now, my failure for the year, And it ended up turning into a success, was I have to actually give a huge, 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 did I say huge, thanks to Don Cooper. Because he's been coaching with me for a couple of years now. Oh, and I really didn't want to cry. You just got to love that about me. my failure for 2012 was not believing in me enough. It's really hard to think that Michelle Price, Prosperity Gal, is not believing herself enough. But there was a shift. There was enough mass, critical mass that happened this year for me having some wins that all of a sudden I felt it. It's like that little thing when you've got, what are those darn little locks where you have to twirl the knob and to open. And it was like I finally hit that third click on the lock, and I was able to open it. And how I know that is because I've been extremely successful in businesses and other industries and arenas, and I know what it feels like. And as soon as I hit the level of confidence that I needed when I was prospecting, when I was Don, what's that word when you're asking them all the questions and you're eliminating them or making them yes?
need analysis.
Yes, my need analysis. I hit a stride that I have my other businesses, and I recognized that feeling as soon as it happened. And as soon as it happened, I was able to really turbocharge through things. So my failure of not being confident has turned to a huge accelerator. That's what I would say to my failure. That's what I'm going to do this year.
And Michelle, I'm sorry, you're cutting in and out again, so I didn't hear the last part about what you were saying with your failure.
Okay, so gotta love that when it does that to us. On my failure came the catalyst for my business this year.
And Michelle, I'm sorry. Still, we're catching maybe every other syllable. So, how about you're sharing some really good information, and I want people to be able to hear it. Maybe we'll have you try reconnecting, and we'll talk with Don for a little bit, and come back to you so that we know we can really hear everything that you have to share for today's show, because I know it's really powerful information.
Sounds good.
Don, you consistently share amazing sales techniques on this show. And I know that every time I listen in, I pull out just some great ideas for myself. Today we're talking about successes, failures, and what you would do differently. What can you share with our listeners today that you've experienced in this last year?
Well, I spent some time thinking about this because it's funny, we don't give ourselves credit for our successes enough. We tend to focus on the failures. What did we not do? So I had to really think about what are the things I accomplished this year. This has actually been a really good exercise for me, and I would recommend that everybody listening to the show take some time, take 20, 30 minutes, and list out your accomplishments for the year and think about what you've gotten done, and that will really give you some momentum for next year.
Absolutely.
I looked at a lot of things I did this year, and I think one of my biggest successes was cracking 50,000 followers on Twitter.
Woo!
Which didn't seem to me like it was a big deal, but everybody that I mentioned that to is just awed by that. Apparently, I'm now one of the top people on Twitter, and I get mentioned as one of the top sales experts to follow on Twitter. My clout score is up to 77, so I'm starting to get a bigger and bigger presence in the social media world, which is nice. And in fact, I'm going to be speaking at a social media conference in Italy in February. And that's come about through constantly tweeting good quality content. Tweeting useful sales tips and other business tips and blog posts and occasional humor and things like that. Creating a real following on Twitter. And I'm looking forward to building that further.
That's awesome. So with that success, you've got me speechless here. I'd like to ask you all kinds of questions on that, but I'll reserve that for another show. What would you say is your biggest failure this year?
That one is a failure to do something, and in my case, it's failing to get a book written. As a sales expert, I need a new book, and I didn't get it done this past year. And it's so easy with a major project to put it off and put it off because the daily activities take up your time, and there's always another priority. And I did not make writing a book a priority for last year, so it didn't get done. I've got 3 or 4 books in my head, and I really need to get them out on paper and put a marketing plan together and get them out there because – you know, as good as the tips are, as good as the blog posts are, a book can be even more valuable to my audience, and it can be especially valuable to me as an author, building my credibility, building my platform. So that's going to be one of my focuses for next year, making sure that I get a book done, out, published.
Oh, that's a big goal, but certainly something that you can do because you have all this content. So I agree. You kind of tied your biggest failure in what you're going to do in 2013. Now, the additional question to that, though, is especially since this is something you said you wanted to do this year and it just didn't quite happen, how are you going to hold yourself accountable next year to make sure it does?
I have a mastermind group that I work with, and I am charging them with keeping me on task and making sure that I hit certain targets to get this book written, and they have enthusiastically agreed to help me get this book done, get it out of me.
And that's a great solution. You definitely have other people in your back pocket helping you out, and now you've got all the listeners, too, that are going to come to you. Everybody, as you're listening in today and you're hearing us, we're being very transparent with you today because there's things that you can learn from our experiences, and we hope that you're sharing your experiences using the hashtag BBS Radio. And, hold us accountable for the things that we say here today. Thank you, Don.
Yeah. Oh. And that's a great topic for others as well. If you want to get something done, make your goal public. Tell your
exactly.
mastermind group. Tell your family. Tell people, your coworkers. Tell your customers. If you want to get something done, make that goal public. Let people know about it. Post on social media and let others hold you accountable.
You know, I absolutely agree, Don. Back in 2009, I had a lot of health issues, and one of the things that I needed to do was get more water into my diet. And so I put out on Twitter, hey, anybody, I really need this for my health. It's important. I need to be drinking more water. If you happen to think about it during the day, ask me, Steph, are you drinking water? I was amazed at the number of people, and I still have some people, even, a few years later, that will occasionally fire me a tweet, Steph, you drinking your water? It's awesome. Because it really did hold me accountable, and it is something that I still need to be held accountable for. So, Andrea, you know, we've enjoyed listening to you teach us about being willing to step out there and hear that no and what the power of no is and how we can go for that message. And I want to thank you for all that you've contributed in this last year and beyond to the show. As you look back on this last year, what's been your biggest success or your biggest failure? Sometimes you want to start with one or the other. And then what are you going to do next year differently to stay accountable?
Well, Stephanie, I want to say, first of all, that I nag my husband on an hourly basis to drink more water. So I'm so glad to find out that you have this as a need. I can help you. I'm telling you. I am like the water nag, seriously.
There's huge. There's loads of productivity, brain reasons, health reasons. I mean, I have a huge, huge book, actually, that I should probably write just on the benefits of water. So.
Right.
Yeah, I need that.
Right. Oh, yeah. My husband would be thrilled to have me nag someone else to drink their water.
That's going to be a new Twitter hashtag. That's going to be a new Twitter hashtag. Water
yes.
Nag.
Drink your water. Yep. Yes.
Drink water now.
But seriously, well, you know, I had an interesting start to my year, and it was, I guess, you know, I you guys know I look at failure a little bit differently. I look at failure as always good and always a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
So. I had what I would consider to be a pretty massive failure in that it was a financial failure, but it was one of these things where, you know, the question gets asked sometimes, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? Well,
uh-huh.
I like to ask, well, what would you do if you knew that you would fail, that you have to, you just have to do this? And that was this project. This particular project that my husband and I did at the beginning of the year was something that we just had to do it. It was one of those things where I guess you could say that even though the signs were there that it might not be financially successful, we just had to. So it had to do with writing we had written a script for Hollywood several years ago. And never got anywhere with it, and we decided to turn it into a book. And the tricky part was finding the audience for this book. It was a very quirky, we turned it into a little bit of a political book, but people in politics aren't interested in reading science fiction thrillers, and people who are interested in reading thrillers and fictional books aren't really interested in politics. So we literally had like no audience, but it's such a great book. It was a great movie script, and as a movie script it was called Lincoln on the Lawn, but as a book we called it What Would Lincoln Say, and I think I would definitely have changed that title. But anyway, I'm glad that we did it. It was a tremendous amount of fun, even though we lost some money on it. Anyway, so that brings me to my success. I had a lot of great successes this year, successes in the social media realm and building, continuing to build my Go For No brand. But one of the successes that I had that I'm really proud of was I did a year-long interview series where I interviewed people for a particular niche that we work in, the direct sales and network marketing niche, and it was around a little book that we wrote called Million Dollar Year. And when you buy the book online, you get access to 50 interviews. And I literally did these interviews throughout the entire year. And I posted one a week in the little members area I created online at the website where we sell the book, and communicated to the people that bought the book online and were listening to the interviews. And it just was a great success to me, because not that we sold a zillion books or anything, although I got great feedback from the people that did buy, but I'm just proud that I committed to doing such a huge project, 50 interviews of direct sales and network marketing experts, and I posted them and I sent my emails out every week, and I was just, it was probably one of the only times in my business that I've maintained such a incredible consistency. I think we all look for, you know, projects that we do, and so often we kind of let them fall to the wayside, or they're not maybe financially rewarding, or they're not as much fun as we had hoped, and we just let them drift. And I'm proud that I actually did finish that.
That sounds fantastic. And actually, Andrea, I'm sitting here with in mind of a handful of clients that I wrote down in my notes. Okay, I've got to point them over to do that. I didn't know you did that this year.
Yeah, and it's really fun because now that I've got 50 interviews, I'm now next year going to create more of a membership website to take all of that content and kind of repurpose it. Everybody got it free for buying the book. That was the promotion for 2012. Well, 2013 will look a little different.
So is that the one thing you're going to do different in 2013? Or, you know, what are you going to do different, and how are you going to hold yourself accountable?
Well, we are working on more fiction books. My husband and I together is our kind of our side project in addition to GopherNo. So the one thing I'm going to do the same is continue the things that I've learned and the things that I put into practice, specifically social media type activities that are working really well for me. I'm going to continue that. And the thing that I've learned is be focused and do your research. And so before we launch this next interesting novel that we're working on, we're going to do the research and make smart decisions. Even though, like I said about the other project, we had to do it, I'm going to do what it takes to make this one a financial success.
Awesome. I look forward to it. Now, how are you going to hold yourself accountable? I'm going to keep pushing that one when people are skipping it.
I know. We are kind of a business team, so we do a pretty good job of holding ourselves accountable. But I will say this, my first 100-day plan, and I create my plans in 100-day chunks, so my first 100 days starts I'm actually starting on January 7th. I have committed, now, of course, I don't have anybody, you guys are, I guess, my accountability partners for this, and I do have one accountability partner who I talk to every Monday morning, a really good friend of mine, she will hold me accountable to this, too, and that is doing the behind-the-scenes work. I bought an actual program which teaches how to launch books online and market fictional books and things like that. So I am going to go through that program. It's part of my 100-day plan.
Excellent. So, Dino, you know, you've been talking to us at the tail part of this year about blogging and how we can be unique and different and get our voice really out there, which I just really resonate with. And I'm so glad that Michelle brought you onto the show. What's been your biggest success and failure within this year?
First, Stephanie, are you drinking your water?
Thank you. Yes, I am. I actually have a really big jug right next to me.
Sweet. So, biggest success. You know, I live and breathe Triber. So in 2011, our motto has always been solving big problems for little bloggers. And when you think about it, 99% of us are little bloggers. None of us is Huffington Post. None of us is Mashable. So in 2011, when we first came out, the biggest problem facing bloggers was how to distribute your content wider, how to get it in front of more people. So we solved that pretty effectively. And then in 2012, we continued solving big problems for little bloggers. So one of the biggest problems that existed is inability to write on a regular basis. So typically we go for guest bloggers, and we beg people to write guest blogs for us, and then the guest content that comes our way is kind of crappy. So there's all sorts of problems with guest blogging. So we solved that. We deployed something called Reblog, which is kind of like what Tumblr has within their ecosystem, except with us, it's for WordPress, self-hosted WordPress bloggers. The other problem was when somebody syndicates your post, like, for example, if you're lucky, Stephanie, your blog post may end up on Huffington Post. You go to Huffington Post and you'll see, you know, this post was originally published on blah, 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 right?
Right.
But if that happens, now there's a significant loss of engagement. The comment sections, it's the same post, but it's two different comment sections. So in 2012, we wanted to do this. We had no idea if it was even possible because nobody else has done it. We wanted to create a comment system that essentially gives you zero loss of engagement. So if your blog post gets reblogged, in other words, you end up guest posting on somebody else's blog, whatever comments you have on your post are visible on the syndicated version of that post and vice versa. And
oh, wow.
This is technology that didn't exist. And we, to be honest, we didn't know we could even do it. So we did it. So that's been a huge success for us.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So, you know, in terms of failures, my lifelong dream, one of them, is to speak at a TED conference. And this year I failed to do that. So next year, fingers crossed.
All right. So that speaking at a TED conference, is that your one thing you're going to do different? Or, you know, tell us, you know, what are you going to do differently and how are you going to hold yourself accountable?
So I've registered a domain and I've started setting up a blog, essentially. It's called roadtoted.com. And I plan on, embedding videos of various speakers and then extracting lessons from their talks. And obviously I want to invite anybody else who's interested in public speaking to, you know, give their take on, you know, particular talk. So I'm going to deploy a new blog that's going to be essentially focused on improving everyone's public speaking abilities. And the whole theme of the blog is really to hold myself accountable to actually get to TED. So that's what I'm doing.
Excellent. So and you're making sure you're going to do that? You're holding yourself accountable by doing...
By having this blog and, you know, publicly proclaiming, because it's been a kind of a quiet dream for me, right?
Okay.
But here I am publicly announcing it and talking about it, and I have a domain name and a blog that's sort of, all themed around my desire to speak at TED. So let's hope for the best.
Excellent. Very good. So, you know, and thank you for checking on my water. I appreciate that.
No problem. Anytime.
So, Ian, I am so looking forward to hearing more and more of your social media tools that you share on BBS Radio in this upcoming year. But as you look back on this past year, on 2012, what would you say it was your biggest success and why, and your biggest failure and why?
Okay, well, what I'm going to cover first is the failure first and then the success.
Uh-huh.
I don't really like using the word failure because I'm an entrepreneur, and every time I go through something, I learn something new. So I've
Absolutely.
Learned from this. So I suppose towards the end of last year and this year, we were building some Facebook applications as part of our business. And we were getting customers and getting sales, but we feel we were failing. And the reason we feel we were failing is because we wanted a global product and we didn't research the market enough. So we were doing a lot about competition-type applications. And when we looked internationally, there was far too many people doing competition applications on Facebook, and they were better than us and cheaper than us. So although we were getting business locally, if to bring this business internationally, we would have to dramatically change things. So where we failed there was we didn't research the market enough. Just because we were making money didn't mean to say we were going to be successful on a global basis. So we decided to can that, to stop developing the Facebook applications. So I suppose the key lesson for us and for any listeners listening in is just doing the research up front before jumping in and really testing out the market. So there's a lot of ways we could have tested the Facebook applications in terms of selling the Facebook applications without even building them. We could have put up a website and we could have ran some Google AdWords testing, sent traffic to a site and seen what conversions we'd get before we'd even developed the product. So it's really researching and testing. So I think that was our failure.
Okay. And I think, you know, I can relate to that. I had done a couple projects this year where I could have done some better market research, and I plan on doing that going this coming year as well. So what would you define as your biggest success and why?
So this year, after the Facebook app experience, what I decided was Well, social media was an area that I've been involved in for a few years now, and I just really love it, and I'm very passionate about it. And I want to be a very key influencer in the area of social media. So I looked at all the key influencers in social media and tried to identify a gap. So I have 20 years of experience in technology industry and 5 years in social media digital marketing. And when I looked at the key influencers, a lot of them had marketing backgrounds and journalist backgrounds, and they dabbled in technology but weren't technology experts. So I decided at the start of this year, around March or April, I was going to be the social media tools guy, as Michelle calls
right.
me now.
Right.
So it's gone amazingly well, in fairness. My blog, razorsocial.com, is growing rapidly. And I have to compliment Dino because I do use Triber, and Triber has been very successful for me in terms of growing the blog and building up a bigger network. I write for the Social Media Examiner, which is the biggest social media blog in the world. I write for Reagan.com, Business to Community, BusinessesGrow.com, Mark Schaefer's blog. And, of course, I'm also a guest on Breakthrough Business Strategies.
Which was your biggest win this year?
Right.
I'd say Breakthrough Business Strategies. Now, if I'm being honest, the one that opened the most doors was Social Media Examiner. And that wasn't just interacting like Stelzner over Twitter. That was a combination of building a relationship over Twitter and online, and then meeting him at Blog World actually in June of this year and sitting down having a bite to eat with him. And that's where a lot of things happen when you sit down and meet people over a cup of coffee. So that opened a lot of the doors for me at that stage, and just things have been moving very quickly since then.
Well, and I really appreciate how you pointed out that it wasn't just, you know, a quick conversation that you did with Mike over Twitter or any other social media aspect, but that there was a connection used or made with social media, but then there was a real face-to-face connection that happened as well. And so you used what we've lovingly referred to as the old school social media of, you know, meeting at events or talking on the phone to continue to build a deeper relationship.
I'd agree 100%. I do so much online, but at least every couple of months, I go to the States to a networking event. So I'm in Vegas at New Media Expo in January. And it's a big commitment to the family. You're going, Dino, yeah?
Yep, yeah, I'm speaking on the first day. Be there.
Brilliant. I will be there, Dino. I'll buy you a drink, Dino.
Sounds good.
I must owe you at least one.
Right on.
I'd say from the listener's point of view, to think about what is your unique selling point and what is your niche. Because things have moved quickly for me, only because I did actually come up with a niche. At this stage, I have tool providers all around the world contacting me saying, will you cover this tool, will you cover that tool? So now I'm getting access to the latest information on all the tools, which is exactly what I wanted to get. And it's happened over a very short time period.
And they're coming to you rather than you having to seek them out, which is a really nice shift for your business and your time, I would assume.
It is. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So what are you going to do differently this next year, and how are you going to hold yourself accountable to make sure that it happens?
Well, for the last 6 to 9 months, really it's about building my name, building the brand online, building razorsocial.com as a brand online. And hasn't been about revenue generation. So I have an existing business in Ireland. We do a lot of digital marketing training. That's quite a successful business. But I want to replace that income with online income. So next year is all about generating revenue from all the efforts I've put in over the 6 or 9 months last year. Well, in 2012. So it's replacing the revenue from the digital marketing training with online revenue generated through our site, razorsocial.com.
Excellent. So how, again, that accountability question, how are you going to make sure that occurs?
Well, we're putting in the plans in place to make sure it occurs. We are, the way I account myself is I do have a mentor that I work with who is a venture capitalist, and I actually introduced Michelle to him over email this evening, and I talk to him on a monthly basis. And it's great just to bounce ideas off him and set out my plans for the year and be accountable to somebody. Somebody that's sitting outside the business that's only interested in us driving that business forward. And I think having somebody external like that is really useful.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, and you know, I promised Michelle that I would share answers to these questions myself, so I will kind of self-interview here. She told me I couldn't get away with not answering these questions. So, you know,
hey, Stephanie?
Yes.
What is your biggest success in 2012?
Well, actually, I'm going to flip it on you because I want to start with my biggest failure because it actually leads to my biggest success.
What is your biggest failure?
I alluded to this a little bit in saying that back in 2009, I was rather sick. And that's probably putting it mildly because at the time, I had my medical advisors telling me that I probably wouldn't see 2010. So, it was, you know, and that's probably something I've never shared on this show, and actually it's something that I plan on sharing much more because there's a pretty significant story to all of that. But from a failure standpoint, it took me a couple years to get myself to a physically healthy position. And I did that with my health, but what I learned this year was that I had not necessarily mentally made that shift for my own business. When I was that sick, I didn't have a lot of energy to actually live life. And there were a lot of humbling things that happened during that time. And my biggest failure was not recognizing that my body was in a different position now and that I could take on more and that I had played very, very small in my business and in how I served people for a good majority of this year. Fortunately, I connected with a couple really brilliant people that I've worked with privately that have helped me unearth all of those things. I had this really huge fear of death that was actually holding me back from being big in my business. And that's, you know, something I don't share a lot. But I took the time. My biggest failure of playing small became my biggest success because I've taken time to really do a tremendous amount of internal work this year that has rolled into moving into 2013 with a much bigger brand and serving people in a much bigger way. I am changing my service delivery model. I'm changing my branding, and there's a lot of different things going on, but I am unbelievably excited about it because I'm now in a position to really help people where they won't necessarily have to get into the same physical condition that I did. The work that I'm going to be doing with people is really helping them get control of their business so that they make sure to take the time for their health and relationships. And as solo business owners, small business owners, big entrepreneurs, a lot of times we get so caught up in the busyness of business that we lose sight of why we went into business in the first place. So I'm really excited about 2013 because I'm going to be able to help people move forward not only with their business but with their life too.
That is powerful stuff.
Thank you. I'm going to be sharing the story more and more. The background of me almost not being here to host this show today is that I put it all on myself, and I made that happen, and I'm taking 100% accountability for it. And now I'm going to teach people how to not do that so that they can live really magnetically powerful lives too. So I'm excited about that. But
I love it.
Thank you. And thank you for asking the interview questions for me.
Stephanie, what was your biggest success in 2012?
Well, really, yeah.
Michelle, how am I doing?
You're doing awesome, Gina. We love you.
So, you know, really, my biggest success was recognizing my biggest failure. And that sounds kind of quirky, but I had spent a
tremendous amount of time. I am a recovering workaholic, and will always be a recovering workaholic and a recovering multitasker and a recovering a lot of other things. But when I got really sick, I had to shut down, not because I wanted to, but because I had to, and I had to quit everything. And when I say everything, I literally mean everything. And I had slowly started incorporating new things into my world. What I hadn't realized was that within my mindset, I was still in that shutdown mode because I was still scared. So really my biggest success was that internal work that I did to say, okay, I'm doing all the right things here in terms of marketing my business and getting my message out. Why am I not, you know, I have different goals every year for where I want my business to be. And while I have a successful business, I wasn't where I ultimately want it to be. And I had to take that step back and really say, why is that? And be willing to get really raw and be willing to answer some questions that weren't easy to answer. You know, being able to verbally say I was scared of dying and that's why I was not doing things in my business was not something I would have been easily able to say, you know, even a few months ago. And now I can say that with more power and conviction because I know what I'm meant to do. It's that clarity that Michelle had talked about to some degree. So really my success was recognizing my failure. And then in 2013, it's just a matter of really now taking all that and really moving forward powerfully so that I can serve my audience the way I'm supposed to serve them.
So in other words, as a very clever lady puts it, Michelle with 1L Price, she calls that the inner game. You really worked on your inner game.
Exactly. And I spent, right. When I say a lot of time, I spent hours and hours and hours on that inner game, and it was very well worth it.
Right?
Well, you know, it is. It's funny because my business is I spend a lot of time with my clients on their own inner game. So there was a lot of things that I have asked my clients over the years that I turned around and asked myself. It's a lot harder when you have to answer the questions than when you're asking them. But certainly well worth it.
Yep, I agree.
So, Dino, thank you so much for interviewing me. I don't want to lose sight. I'm keeping track of the time here, and I want to make sure that we can get back to Michelle. I figured we would end with our fearless leader here today. Hopefully, Michelle, we've been able to get audio back for you. So you had talked to us about this work that you had done on clarity for this year and how Digital Splash came about, and we're all very excited about that. But we lost some of the information on the biggest failure and what you want to do differently. So can you maybe share that with us here today?
Happy to. You know, my biggest failure, as I stated earlier, was that I was not standing 100% in my confidence arena, which I had a lot of coaching from Don around that. He was being a great accountability partner in reminding me when we would be talking. So is that standing in confidence? And it is funny because what I noticed late 2011 through 2012 was that I had done some things that people I had been looking up to had accomplished. I had two successes at conferences where I was ranking in the top 10 influencers at those conferences, yet I wasn't doing enough with that. I did it in an arena that people were familiar with me and my brand, but I also went and did it in an arena where no one knew me from Bubkiss and ended up in number 4 position. And at that point, that was an awake moment for me to realize, oh my God, okay, you need to start recognizing you're a powerhouse. Stop playing small around that. Don't let other people's fears, when they project them onto you, make you pull back for who you are, because in my pulling back, I wasn't serving my audience, or my clients, or myself. And you know, it's funny, that inner game that we talk about is so important to the level of success that we're able to accomplish not just for ourselves and our businesses, but for our clients as well. And when that shift occurred for me, like I was alluding to earlier, I could feel it. I recognized it from businesses that I had before, and it was like I was finally hitting fourth gear. My foot was on the gas, and I was trucking it down the road. And it felt really, really good. And that was a physical reminder to me that I was finally in alignment with what I needed to accomplish. Now, the thing that I want to do for 2013 is kind of funny. You guys are going to laugh. I'm great at giving everybody else PR, making sure that they're getting their message out there in ways that are really powerful and are in alignment with their strategies. But I really have focused so much on doing that for other people, whether it's the radio show or as clients, that I haven't done it for myself. And my PR mentor's been lovingly kicking me in the ass for 2 years around that. That's my goal for 2013. I'm going to make sure I'm on TV. I'm on other people's radio shows. I'm being written about because I've done a lot of really great projects and campaigns, and I've got to make sure that I stand in my brilliance and I get my own PR juice around it. Accountability is real easy. You guys just heard me say it.
That's right.
We will hold you to that.
And Michelle, I am so thrilled that you did the inner work as well. It's something that's really easy to put off, isn't it?
Well, what's kind of funny is, and Stephanie and I have this in common, we have a few things that have been rather parallel and almost spooky.
That is true.
Almost spooky. So, yes, you can hold me accountable for drinking more water, too. And it's funny because it's been the constant for me in every business that I've ever been in because it was my first core skill. It was the thing that I brought to everything I've ever done was the inner work. It was the thing that made me and my brand different than everyone else.
Right.
But I didn't always embrace it. It was easy to embrace that when you're in the holistic healthcare arena, but to embrace that when you're in other business arenas sometimes can be a little tricky, but it's because we make excuses around it instead of go, you know what, this is my differentiator, and this is where I notice people make mistakes. And if you'll take the time to write out what that looks like, so yes, mind map, here she comes again. Are you using a mind map tool that allows you to look at your big picture things and then start filling in all of the little details? That's a great accountability partner to be able to look at that and go, okay, I said I wanted to do this year, but I notice in my detail I haven't actually taken any of those actions. And instead of physically pushing myself to do that, I always ask the internal questions first now. I'll sit down, whether it's drink a cup of tea, glass of water, whatever, and I will sit down for Michelle time, even if it's only 5 minutes, and go, okay, kiddo, what is preventing you from taking these actions? And then I shut up and listen.
And that's critical.
It is critical. Most people aren't willing to shut up and have any kind of silence in their life at all. They think they've always got to be doing things. And I'm kind of like, you know what? You're actually not accomplishing anything, because when you aren't willing or you haven't helped yourself build the muscle to sit down and be quiet and receive those messages, your actions aren't as fruitful.
Well, and I would, you know, I have, when I do coaching with clients, it's frequently virtually rather than face-to-face, and there are a number of instances where I will ask my clients to get in a very comfortable position and then close their eyes and either put their hands, you know, rested in their laps or over their hearts, because I want them to get into a quiet position as we're working on the next pieces that we're working on. And it's business coaching that I'm doing. It's not, I'm not doing holistic health practitioning or anything like that either. So completely relate to what you're saying, and I found that it's been really effective for me too.
You know,
so, certainly, because those two things that you mentioned, Michelle, are common. The business owners, salespeople, professionals, And both of those things, the inability to think big and the tendency to not promote yourself, stem from fear. Fear
right.
of being adequate, fear of being perceived as inadequate, fear of failure. And all these fears hold us back in business and in other areas of our lives. These are definitely business issues. That's part of why I like the focus of your radio show so much, is because if we're not clear on the inside about how good we are and what makes us valuable, then we're not going to be effective in business, whether it's managing others or selling our product or whatever. You can't build a business effectively if you don't believe in yourself and you are not out there always being the evangelist for yourself, your company, your product, your service.
You know, there's something that Stephanie just said earlier that I think is really important, and it's something that I want to point out individually for each of you guys how you do that. And she talked about heart. And it's funny to me that we're willing to have that conversation in sports about how much heart a team has, but as soon as we start talking about business, oh, no, heart, that's emotion. We can't talk about emotions. That has nothing to do in the professional world. And I have been saying for 25-plus years, you can't split yourself up like that and expect to show up with who you are.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
And one of the things that has allowed me to bring on people who are really good on this show, like Dino, has got the heart of a lion when it comes to, you know, the everyday blogger. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about the brilliance that he brings to the table. The other thing that I really appreciate is Andrea's heart for helping us to understand how no holds us back. That's critical in how we're able to build profits and successes in our business. But it's a thing that most people, they just soon drop their pants in public before they, you know, push for a no. And the other thing that I notice is, for example, Stephanie, she has helped us so much with her compassionate heart and helping us understand how that needs to link back to our business heart. And so many times we've wanted to keep that separate, and that really doesn't serve our businesses. It's probably the biggest thing that keeps us being very unproductive and, quote, overwhelmed as possible.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like when someone's got the passion and the heart to help us learn how to actually leverage technology that Ian brings to the table around social media tools, then what happens is, we're finally getting ourselves that inner game in alignment with our outer game, which has been the message I've been sharing for, you know, we're going into our fifth year now. And, of course, I can't finish the show without talking about the heart that Dawn brings to the table from the Sales Heretics, because I aligned to him very early in the show, and I was a message because Dawn is willing to be exactly what he says he is, a heretic. He's willing to toe the line and bring you to the edge of the cliff so that you can see that it's not important for you to be constantly playing little, whether it's in your sales, whether it's in prospecting, because it is so important for you to be able to reach the finish line. You've got to be willing to come at the problem from a different mindset than where the problem exists. And that's been the biggest thing that I've seen has held people back, whether they're natural entrepreneurs and they're just in a new business, or they're what I call forced entrepreneurs, and they came from corporate America and they finally said, I am not going to let another big company tell me you've been downsized and throw my family for a loop. So they've learned to really step into their brilliance and make it a business.
And it's powerful stuff, right? It's I mean, when you get that clarity and when you step into your brilliance, you serve on a much higher capacity. I mean, you've seen that, right, Michelle? You said you've kind of kicked it into fourth gear, right?
It's so true. And if listeners today walk away with nothing from what we've said other than I am going to totally stand in my brilliance this year, and if that means being quiet every day for 30 minutes and asking yourself, what is my brilliance, then do it. Because I've had to do that with people, too. I've had friends as well as clients who said to me, well, I don't know what it is. Well, quit using it for an excuse. Use it to empower you. If you don't know what it is, then ask that question every day. Every time you take a glass of water or a cup of coffee and take a sip, go, I really want to know what my brilliance is in a way that I can understand it.
What I enjoyed about the call today was the honesty on the call, which was really nice, that everybody was prepared to go, what was my failures and what was I weak at and what was I good at? And I think everybody starting the start of the next year, if you're able to identify the weaknesses and build on them and identify your strengths and be honest about what you failed at, that means you can move forward and learn from mistakes.
I totally agree, and I have to tell you, we could have had another hour because I had more failures. I didn't even get to share them all.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too, Andrew.
We all have.
I mean, seriously.
I had a hard time choosing.
Right. Yeah. But you know what? I love it because if I'm failing a lot and I had lots of things that I considered to be small failures, little things that, you know, there's things that don't go right, there's big failures, but that just means I'm doing a lot, and I had a lot of successes as well.
Now, wasn't it Disney who said, if you want to succeed, increase your rate of failure?
Yeah.
Somebody said that. Somebody very clever said that.
It was him or Thomas Watson, I forget.
Exactly. Yeah. It was Thomas Watson, yep. And double your failure rate, he said.
There you go.
So since I have all of you guys together and we've got 2 minutes and 55 seconds left, here's what I'd like to ask you guys. Oh, yeah, I'm doing it online. Don't you love how I put you in the corner? I think this is something we need to do on a quarterly basis for our listeners. What do you think?
Man,
I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think if we did this kind of show on a quarterly basis and helped people really start thinking about, okay, what are my successes and my failures in this quarter? What do I need to tweak and do different for the next one? Because that's what Don also taught me this past year, too. Quit wait till the end of the year to figure out what you need to do different.
Right.
Yeah, it's so arbitrary. Good one, Don.
Thank you.
I think that is a plan, Michelle.
Awesome.
Well, you know, everyone, Michelle mentioned we only had a couple minutes left, and I wanted to ask you listeners, you know, what are you going to do differently in 2013? We thank you so much for listening today, and we encourage you to visit whoismichellepryce.com with one L and comment and tell us what you want to change, improve, or remove from what you're doing in your business. What ahas did you get from listening to today's show? We know that the comments that you make are going to help another listener and another reader on that training post. We wish you a very, very happy and prosperous new year. And we'll be back here for you next week, sharing on business success mindset, your inner game, and Web 2.0 tools, techniques, and strategies, your outer game, so that you're equipped to create success in your business today. This is Stephanie Callahan for Michelle Price. To your success, and bye for now.